And on today's Windy City Queercast, Mitchell Fain and I are asking you to help us support something very near and dear to our hearts that is in great need. We're going to be talking about an institution in the GLBT community that needs our help. Also, we're about to spring forward in daylight savings time. What does that mean for us? And oh, it always evokes Rhode Island for Mitchell. Plus, there was a tragedy right on Halsted Street. Well, no one was hurt, but it was big news this past Friday, and the community once again coming together. Our community is just so united. And what is happening on Grey's Anatomy? Who's a cast member that's going to be staying longer than we thought? Plus news, what's going on in the theater scene, and much, much more, all with Mitchell Fain. We love him.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 288. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
On the couch.
I just woke up, Amy.
You did just wake up.
I didn't
up.
Tell you that when I came down here, but
you
literally.
You look cute as a bug.
Thank you. I literally woke up at 11:30.
What am I going to do when you're not waking up at 11:30 like a dilettante in my our house?
Of, I know.
A house of fine gays and lesbians.
Oh, it is. It is the house of the finest gays and lesbian dogs. It is.
It is. You're here. Here it is. We have snow this Sunday, and then you're heading to South America.
South America,
in
Mexico.
4 weeks. Yeah. I'm heading to the Caribbean in days.
I know. Who are we?
We
except
are.
Except you're going for leisure. I'm going for work.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, it's fun.
Nobody's
work.
Paying me though for my 4 hours of leisure. My 4 hours of work while I'm leisuring.
It's barely 4 hours.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is fantastic. Yeah, this gig is like. Because we work even less than we did on the last one.
Yeah.
Because it's a different format.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you have to be on. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I wonder, I hate to say this going on because it's like, poor me, but, you know, could get a little boring.
Yeah.
I liked working as much as we did in the last show.
Yeah.
Which wasn't actually a lot of work.
Yeah.
But people.
Just more time for international sex.
Yes, more
House
time to
sex.
Be, more time to be the one-man UN
yeah,
that I started
go.
In Europe. Yes. I'm a dirty,
making
dirty whore.
Making your way around the globe.
Yes,
Mitchell
all
Fain.
Around the world. I'm like a dirty, dirty whore. No, I'm not.
No,
I'm a clean,
you're
clean
not.
Whore. You know what I mean?
You're a clean, clean whore.
I'm a whore, but I'm hygienic.
But it's good, you know, because really, I can't believe here in the first days of March we have snow. And what's crazy is that this is always when I feel, I'm usually okay with, I live in Chicago.
Right.
It's cold and there's snow.
Right.
But come April and May.
I know.
I feel like there is something wrong in the ooze-sphere. Like, it should not be cold in May. It seems like a cruel, cruel trick. It's not May yet, obviously.
No, it's not.
But
we
it
still
will
have 2 months. I know, but you know what happens?
So it's good you're getting away these months.
It is good. But, of course, what I'll miss, and this will be my second year missing it, is, you know, because Chicago winters are so brutal and so long, you know, this one particularly, spring fever in Chicago is like no other place I've ever
Yeah.
been.
Yeah.
I mean, the collective
The baseball, the scooters coming out way too
early.
Oh,
people running at the lake, shorts. I mean, people in Chicago wear shorts from the second you kind of can to the second you kind of shouldn't.
Yeah, 50 degrees.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people. I'm a shorts guy. I'm a summer
boy. You're a nudist. I am a nudist. You're naturist.
Yes, I am. Here's the deal, though. I'm not an exhibitionist. Like, I don't get off on anyone seeing me or looking or catching a glimpse.
Well, I get off on seeing you.
But I don't. I definitely, since I was one of those little boys that, like, I would take a bath and then run out of the front door and she had clothes on. Like my mother tried to put clothes. Yeah.
Like
my mother would try to put clothes
naked
on me and I'd be like, no, and run down the street naked. Like since I was a little boy. But I will miss that spring fever. And I really, people who don't live here and they think, oh God, I could never live in Chicago. Don't get that the payoff for our sort of like
hibernation,
stoic acceptance of the winter, you know, our sort of like plowing through with our
tough skin.
Yeah. Is that we get rewarded with the best summer city.
Yes.
Because summer in Chicago, spring and summer and early fall in Chicago is the best. As opposed to New York, which I love New York, but everybody tries to get the fuck out of New York when it gets hot. Chicago,
it's hot and smelly.
That's what I think about. They don't have the alleys to keep their trash out of sight. Yeah. We do. That's the big difference, I think. Anyway, it's a fabulous time to be in Chicago.
I agree. I don't think it's spring, though. I really feel like we don't have a spring. We really don't have a spring or a fall. We have kind of like early summer and late summer. That's how I look at
it.
Because as a Southerner, we don't have the colors and the blooming in the same way. Or New or Rhode Island, where you're from.
New England. It's all about the seasons.
Yeah, it's all about
the seasons. Does it even have seasons in the South?
Where I am, in Tennessee and North Carolina, right. I mean, it's some of the best places to see leaves and, you know, and all around the kind of Virginia,
but do you get
DC
winter
area.
Then? Like winter?
Well, actually, while it snowed here on Sunday, it snowed in Tennessee just a little bit, like sprinkled in the south. There was actually some snow in Mississippi. So,
There's snow in New Orleans.
Snow that hits the ground and stays. But they think just if it's blowing in the air, it's snowing.
Yeah, it's the end of the world.
But it's so much better for people who have allergies to live here. But it is kind of just like one day you see green buds and then 5 days later there are trees and it's done.
It's true.
So,
I know it's true. You
and
know,
we have we have the possibility too of the trees burning, which I can't ever stand when that happens. And the, magnolias here, what do they call them? Dogwoods here, that they'll get zapped, you know, the buds, if it gets really cold in the week. So that week is really critical when things are coming out, but.
Well, you know, you're getting older as a native New Englander. When you grow up in New England, you have older relatives who say things like, "What are you doing this weekend?"
Yeah.
Nothing. You want to take a foliage tour?
A foliage tour.
You want to drive up and see the foliage? You know, and you're like 12. You're like, "No, thanks, Aunt Dottie. No, thank you." And then you get older, and I think to myself, "Ooh," because I'm going to go to Rhode Island again when I get back from the ship. And I think to myself, maybe I should wait for the fall and go on a foliage tour. I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucking old.
Yeah.
You know you're old.
Yeah. Well, there should be a time where you could literally like maybe start in North Carolina and drive your way up and watch them change practically.
God, if you've never been to like Western Mass or New Hampshire or Vermont in the fall, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I never have.
It's ridiculous.
I've been there in the late summer.
When are you going to come to Rhode Island with me?
Right when you get back from
your
trip.
Maybe you should.
I think I should. We'll do a podcast from Rhode Island.
Oh my God,
with all your friends.
Because I'm
going to
go for like 3 weeks and Jordan's going to be there for like 1 week of it, and you should come some other.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Just tell me when it is.
Oh my God,
let's do it. Put it on my calendar. It happens.
Because you're going to miss my friend Louisa. All right, I have this friend Louisa. I'm talking to the podcast now. Who's been my best friend since like 1983. We dated very briefly at the end of...
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, at the very end of high school, kind of dated, and then we were, like, kissing one night, and then she's like, "I have something to tell you," and I was like, "What?" She's like, "I'm gay." I'm like, "Oh, thank God, me too, I'll see you tomorrow." I kid you not.
Why do we all have the same story?
Louisa DeLuca, who's a gorgeous jewelry designer. Actually, she's this fabulous, lesbian, delightful, funny, Judy Garland-loving lesbian jewelry designer / therapist. ArgentumDesigns.com. Mm-hmm. ArgentumDesigns.com. ArgentumDesigns.com. Anyway, gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Because she lives at the ocean in Rhode Island, so she finds like sea glass and all the luxury hotels in 1938 in Rhode Island blew down in a huge hurricane, and all the pottery and shards of like china and all that exquisite stuff from those luxury hotels have now washed up on shore in big softened chunks. And she makes the most exquisite silver jewelry with these found pieces. Anyway, I've always wanted Amy to meet this person because she's this super cool, delightful, not just because she's a lesbian, just because I think they'd click, and Kelly too. And so finally she's coming to visit. She finally has some time off from her crazy life exactly during the time that Amy and Kelly are in the Caribbean.
There we go.
I can't believe it.
That's just
so. If you come to an island, we'll stay with her.
That would be great.
Yes.
Okay, Louisa, save me a room.
Yes, and also Louisa
can't be your bed. I don't know if you're single or coupled, but
no, she's coupled. She's with a doctor.
A doctor,
Mary, who's this fabulous doctor.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, we'll come.
Yeah,
Kelly and I should come.
Yes,
we could road trip. We could drive.
Oh my god, that'd be so fun. We can sing the Score to a Vita at the top of our lungs. It's my favorite road trip album.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yes.
I used to sing all of the Sondheims. They were all my favorite. It didn't matter which one.
Oh my god, I love Evita. I love
Sunday in the Park is a good one. Evita is a really good
Evita because it's the only Andrew Lloyd Webber that I like. Oh, you know what I want to talk about?
Yes.
Here's another plug.
Yes.
Growing up, I'm stuck in Rhode Island. Growing up in Rhode Island, I would get this radio station from Emerson College, W E R S, Boston. Anyway, on
Wurz.
So years ago, they had this radio show called Standing Room Only.
Uh huh.
And it was on Sunday and Saturday. And it was all show tunes all the time. And it would be this, like, DJ from this, like, college radio station. So some kid from the musical theater department. And he would
some
play.
Some gay kid from the musical theater department had a gay radio show.
Probably. I mean, don't want to make assumptions, but probably. Anyway, and he would sort of, like, play all these great show tunes. Not just show tunes, but then, like, if Christine Ebersole made a solo album, she covered some song he played. So it was, like, yeah. You call it Broadway and movies and beyond. That's what they call it. Anyway, so I listened to it obsessively when I was younger, and I would literally, like, tape the whole radio show and then make, like, master tapes of the songs that I really liked. And I've missed it literally for 15, 16 years since I've been here. And then about 3 months ago, I just decided to Google it because I thought, well, there's no way that radio show is still on. 16 years. It was started by some student 16 years ago in Emerson. That clearly that person has moved on with their life.
Yes.
Well, it still exists.
Really?
And I have now listened to it every single weekend because you can go to WERS.org, go to their shows, and click on Standing Room Only, and it goes into your iTunes.
Oh, like a podcast.
But, like, you can sort of record it, but it just sort of goes on your iTunes list. And because it's not a podcast. So every Saturday and Sunday, like it's on right now upstairs, every Saturday and Sunday, Saturdays, East Coast time from 10 to 2. Sundays, East Coast time from 12 to 2. And you just sort of click on it, and you get to hear this fabulous, if you're like an old show tune queen like us.
Like us.
Because you get
great
stuff you haven't heard in years, totally obscure stuff where you're like, what the fuck is that musical? Brand new stuff that just came out that you haven't heard yet, and you're not sure if you're going to like it. It's an awesome show.
That's so cool.
That's my plug. It's so cool. If you're a person who likes theater music or music from the movies, or even people who sing theater music, WERS.org, Standing Room Only, it rocks.
You and I were the same teenager because it's same all I listened to. I mean, we're all my musical theater cassettes. I loved going to New York and seeing stars of Broadway shows have their own solo albums, and I'd go buy them, and they cost like $30 back then.
I still buy the albums of the stars.
Well, I don't, but I would probably just download what I want to see them when they come here. But you know, it's
anyway, that's my plug of the week, WES.org and Argentum.com.
Argentum.com. We're going to stay with you, Louisa, so I hope you're listening to this.
Argentum Designs,
So you can just prepare for that. Hey, this is, as we talk about, you know, spring, this is the week of springing forward. This weekend, this coming weekend,
we'll all be
springing forward. It's daylight savings time. And that means it'll seem... I always think daylight savings time is better... This time that we're moving into is better because it always seems too dark too soon.
It does. I know. So I don't even know why we still do it. Wasn't it an agricultural thing?
I don't know. Somebody please comment on that. I don't know.
Well, they don't do it in Indiana.
Well, it's on the line. They do in some parts of Indiana, but it's on some line.
And then
where
also
they don't
in parts of Arizona, I don't think. I think my sister told me they don't do it in Arizona either.
Yeah, probably that's another one of those mountain Pacific.
I mean, I like it. It's something it's something weird to look forward to.
Yeah. Although I won't know that
I'm losing an hour of
sleep. You're losing an hour this time, but I'll be doing nothing but sleeping, so.
And I'll be entertaining my lesbian jewelry designer
and
friend.
I won't even know the difference, but yeah, this is the one where you lose an hour of bar time, boys, so somehow. Actually, I think they don't change it until 2 a.m.
You know what? Just take a nap in the back room.
There you go. Take a nap in the back room. Hey, folks, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. Then I want to talk to you about something that's involves theater and my theatrical life here in Chicago. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
Hi, I'm Chaz Palminteri, and I'm thrilled to be back on stage doing my play, A Bronx Tale. I wrote and performed The Bronx Tale almost 20 years ago when I was an unknown actor. Then one night, Robert De Niro came to see the play, and the rest, as they say, is Hollywood history. It's been a fantastic ride, but it's only the beginning. We just finished a run on Broadway, and the show was a big hit. And now, I'm bringing A Bronx Tale to you. Come meet all my pals, Eddie Mush, Frankie Coffee Cake, JoJo the Whale, and of course, Sonny. All the guys from the neighborhood will be there. That's right, I'm bringing the Bronx to life in your city. This ain't a movie, folks. It's just you and me. So come and see me perform A Bronx Tale. It's a story I love to tell. I think you'll love it, too.
Begins March 10th at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 2nd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Come see the Tony Award-winning musical Hairspray. The New York Post says it's a great, big, fat, gorgeous hit. Only 3 shows at the Center for Performing Arts at Governors State University, March 13th and 14th. For tickets to Hairspray, visit centertickets.net.
Shrouded in mystery, 6 ordinary people grapple with the emotional casualties of war. In Old Glory, the latest work from Brett Nouveau, one of Chicago's hottest young playwrights. Playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe through March 29th. Visit writerstheater.org for tickets to Old Glory.
Don't miss the dynamic Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, March 13th and 14th at Harris Theater for Music and Dance, where world-class gifted artists bring to life a stunning repertoire of dance. Tickets are just $15 each with the code WCT through March 8th. Visit harristheaterchicago.org.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. Don't miss the seductive French production, The Maids, by Jean Genet at Writers Theater. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. Order your tickets for The Maids at writerstheater.org.
A Paris hotel, a loopy bellboy, an astute concierge, a naked bombshell, a society of pâté lovers. Add 3 Americans and throw into the mix Ducks in Harm's Way and Ooh La La, What Do You Have? Slap Happy, a romantic comedy with a taste of foie gras at Theater Building Chicago. For tickets and more, visit slaphappyplay.com.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Patricia Callamber, formerly of TV's Sisters, playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And now playing at Next Theater is Christopher Shin's Pulitzer-nominated drama Dying City. This provocative and intimate portrait of identical twin brothers, one straight and one gay, reveals the explosive connections between sexuality and violence. For tickets to Dying City, visit nexttheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Lee Nutter, the author of The Way Out, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast, which does not suck.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Departures was a surprise Oscar winner this year for Best Foreign Film, but even more surprising was the lack of a nomination for the Italian movie Gomorrah. The film, an eye-opening look at the vicious Italian crime organization, the world's most violent, is sensational. This is no romantic portrait of the mafia a la The Godfather or decades of other mob pictures. Rather, it's a stripped-down, realistic, venal society in which everything is tainted by the insidiousness of the underworld. the Italian Camorra, it's Camorra, Gamora, whatever, the word means gang, is a loosely knit group of constantly warring gangs, and it never took hold in America the way the Sicilian Mafia did. No one cooks spaghetti or talks about honor, and there's no opera on the soundtrack in the movie. This is simply a world of unglamorous violence with death meted out quickly and bodies disposed of just as fast. Based on the sensational bestseller by author Robert Saviano, who co-wrote the screenplay and remains under permanent police protection after repeated death threats from the group, director Matteo Garrone's film weaves together five of the most compelling stories from the book, a work of lightly fictionalized story steeped in reality. The film is primarily set in a section of Naples known as the Caserta, if I'm saying it correctly. Or Caserta, I better say it or they're going to get me. One of the most lawless in the world where the film was also shot. Gamora is fragmented and jumps about, and there's no visual cueing as in Traffic, the drug movie, to help the audience keep their bearings as these stories rush by. It's all filmed under the same sludge-gray skies. Even Venice has never looked so bleak. One has to pay attention to keep track, but it's worth it. Things quickly move on in this unsentimental world and the icy philosophy of the group. We have to score, kill, and we need money is visualized in every frame of Garrone's cool-eyed film. Though some of the stories allow us to keep our distance, it's also clear that from the lowest human vice and up to the world of high fashion, the reach of this rarely seen group is very long indeed. This is an eye-opening film. You got to see it. Subtitled in Italian, of course. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your very long Night at the Movies Minute.
So, Mitchell, somebody needs our help, and that is about Face Theater,
yeah.
Which is, at one point, the nation's largest GLBT theater company in the United States. It's been around for many, many years, 14 years. 13, 14 years, and I came to work with About Face with the Xena live shows. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening who saw Xena, you know, I did a co-production with another theater company I was involved with and went to rent the Jane Addams Hull House About Face Theater old space, the corner of Belmont and Broadway, mm-hmm. which is now a gym. But that was such a great time for that company and for my life and doing
Xena. I did their first main stage show at the Jane Addams.
You did.
They had done a small production with the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, and then the full production of that show, which was called The Gift, I did back at the Jane Addams House a million years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's been over a decade. And many of us have performed there that you... you know, performed there or done workshops with About Face Theater. I mean, they truly are on the forefront of new gay and lesbian work.
The youth theater is. We should talk about that just sort of separately.
Yeah.
If we're gonna make a plug / plea for people to sort of support this theater as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and their friends and allies. Their youth program in which. GLBT youth, I think it's from like, what is it, like 16, 14 to 25? They create theatrical pieces. And I've never gone and not been moved to tears.
Yeah.
Not because it's maudlin or cheap or manipulative, but because hearing real kids use their creativity and their charisma and their passion and their bonding and their feeling of safety that this place creates to create works about their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not touchy-feely, and sometimes they're not even necessarily telling their own story. They may be telling the story of somebody else in their cast and you just don't know it. So it's not this touchy-feely sort of like psychotherapy on stage. It's real theatrical experiences born out of the real experiences of these amazing charismatic kids. And it's mind-blowing. And if we need to save anything,
yeah,
it's that.
Yeah, I mean, that the youth theater was one of the first people to get one of the many years ago, 7 years ago, no, ten years ago, get one of the Diana Princess of Wales grants for at-risk youth. And that was a really big coup because it put the youth theater on the map. And since then, of course, they have reached tens of thousands of youth and had hundreds and hundreds of queer youth perform in their shows. It's just a really important program and company in general. And, you know, the adult company and its creators and artists help to craft I Am My Own Wife, which went on to win mm-hmm. the Pulitzer Prize and win the Tony Award. You know, we've worked with a variety of artists, big and small. But really, I think it's just that, you know, Chicago is such a theater town that we deserve to have this GLBT theater here that is for adults.
Well, let's face it, who goes to the theater?
Exactly. But this is why we need the GLBT community to support it.
And the point is that the theater's in trouble financially, like every other institution in this country. And
it's crazy, the theaters that have closed. Theater de la Jeune Lune, one of the greatest theaters, regional theaters in the U.S., you know, just closed its doors in Minneapolis. I mean, theaters are closing.
It's hard. It's hard when, I mean, financial times suck, you know, and I'm lucky to be an actor with a job and a nice job for a great company. But even they're cutting back. You know, they've pulled some of the perks of our job away. So everybody's hurting. And I know it's hard when the economy's starting to think about giving to a theater, except when all is said and done, it is our culture that remains, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the buildings, not the banks. And
it's like Penelope Cruz said at the Oscars, which I thought was so powerful.
I agree.
The power of art, the power of the necessity of art. It can't be something that we think
precipice.
We don't deserve. You know, we don't deserve in this time. And it does not need to be the thing that we cut.
No,
what
because
needs to be cut is like a latte or a coffee,
right?
Or what needs to be That's cut is like.
I mean,
a
as
new
artists,
pair of
jeans. we're in a different place, right? Because we, you know, it's how we make our lives. But it is true. When all is said and done, what we're left with is our culture. You know, mm-hmm. we're left with Egyptian
expression.
Art, and we're left with you know the Romans and the Greek literature. I mean, like that's what we're left with. We're not left with the banking system.
Right.
We're left with that when civilizations go away.
Right.
And so. I think we're so on a precipice as gays and lesbians right now. It's very exciting. I was talking to a straight friend of mine, and I said how much progress we've made as gay and lesbians, and he said, I think you're hanging out in too liberal and too urban a place, because when I go home and visit old friends, I'm shocked by the incredibly homophobic things they say.
Yeah.
And I think it is true. It's easy when we're being urbane and modern to remember that there's still a fight to be done. An organization like About Face Theater, who challenges gender norms and it challenges stereotypes and it mm-hmm. challenges expectations and it just challenges our brains, and then provides a place for the next generation of us to grow and to become active and emotionally and politically active, because really that's what we need. We need our next generation of gays and lesbians
absolutely
to take up the mantle, because we're so on the edge of major change. Unfortunately, our generation, you and I, and I'm not blaming you and I, but our generation let it drop because it was easier to assimilate.
Yeah.
And
we need more of that Dustin Lance Black from the Oscars, who is a young man who benefited from, you know.
Can we vote for him next time for president?
Honest to God, how adorable is
he's gorgeous.
And brilliantly cute. But I mean, that's the point, that, you know, About Face was doing the story of Harvey Milk's assassination, more focused on Dan White, the Josh Brolin character, you know, 2.5 years ago. With Proposition 8, there are moments and times to have responses to that. And we actually have new leadership at About Face.
Yeah.
Who inherited some debt, and then with this economic change. So there is a huge campaign going on about Face the Future. Moises Kaufman, a famed playwright and creator of Laramie Project.
In fact, he's working with Jane Fonda right now.
Yes,
right?
He is, with 33 Variations on Broadway. He's the whole reason I know my girlfriend, because he brought her here to Steppenwolf.
Oh.
So if anything, I have him to thank for that. But, you know, he has put out a call. This is the new Face the Future campaign. And it's, you know, any amount of money that you can go to aboutfacetheater.com. It will be linked on our site. $10, you know, can you commit to, you know, not having two coffees? You know, that's really what it boils down to. Or, you know, $20. Can you not have a coffee a week, a latte a week at a Starbucks? Nothing against Starbucks. But, you know, to put money toward this cause, because I think that... a lot of arts organizations are going to be asking, but how many across the U.S. have their mission to tell GLBT stories, explore gender, explore sexuality? And I think that even more than ever right now, with we are more and more focused on challenging that within the company. And so I'd really love to see that energy continue.
Also, I guess I'm going to say something that maybe is, I don't know, probably not controversial to the people who listen to this podcast, but I think it's okay to do something specifically for us.
I agree.
Because I think we in our generation specifically, I'm talking to, we've spent so much time trying to assimilate and make sure that everybody else is okay with us. And then I recently rewatched that documentary, Celluloid Closet.
God, brilliant.
I watched it like before the Oscars. I like to watch clip movies before the Oscars. Anyway, and there's this part with Harvey Fierstein where he's talking about when Torch Song Trilogy finally became a movie. And he said he spent his whole life translating straight heterosexual romances or stories into a gay perspective for his own brain. And he said, and finally, I wrote this play and now I don't have to translate. And he said, people would say to him, oh, your work isn't gay work. It's universal. It's for everybody. He's like, no, thank you. I appreciate that you can translate it for your heterosexual brain, but this is a gay play. And if you want to translate it and make it applicable to your life, great. But let me tell you something, it's a gay play. Well, this is a gay theater. This is a GLBT theater about face. It's specifically, now, that doesn't mean that straight people can't appreciate it. And
we
they
have
do.
A lot of straight people.
Absolutely do, because it,
we've had years where we had more straight audience themes than gay audience.
Because there are universal themes. But as far as taking care of our own, you know, it's a little bit like the, you know, being a Jew, part of the chosen people.
Right.
You know, the chosen people doesn't mean, hey, we're chosen, how special. The chosen people means that the Jews believe, not necessarily me, but the Jews believe that God chose the Jews to represent, right? To clothe their own and feed their own and educate their own and be an example. And, well, you know what? I think as gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgendered people, we need to do that too. We need to clothe our own and take care of our own and protect our own. And I think it's okay in this situation to take care of this organization.
Yeah, and I think it's okay, too, to email your friends. There is a letter on the website, and you could definitely forward it to friends, which is what I did. I sent it to about 200 emails this
Especially if you've ever seen a show at About Face.
Exactly. If you've ever seen a show, or, you know, I don't often ask my friends to, unfortunately, I don't run, so I don't ask people to pledge for me for a marathon. I don't ask people to, I've never gotten married, so nobody's had to buy me a plate.
That's bullshit, you know? By the way. I'm going to throw myself a shower. I'm not married. I'm throwing myself a shower because I fucking deserve it.
Yeah, I'm not having a baby and I'm not getting married. You've just never had to give me anything.
Yeah.
I'm registered at Creighton Barrett.
Bill Sonoma. Talk to Bill Sonoma. How come I don't have a fucking garlic press? Why? Because I'm not married.
So because of that, I don't feel bad asking people to, you know, buy a $25 donation.
We don't want to turn into a pledge drive. It's just that it's important and it's beautiful. And if you've ever been moved at the theater, then think about helping this cause, because this is a place that moves me every time I go.
Exactly. Hey, we're going to tell you about some news and then come back to talk about one news item in particular. So Mitchell Fain and I hanging out on the couch in Chicago.
Yeah.
Center on Halsted proudly announces the party of the season, the Human First Gala, Saturday, March 21st in the Grand Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency Chicago. Begin the evening at 6:30 with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, followed by the Human First Awards, honoring State Representative Sarah Feigenholz, State Representative Greg Harris, Mr. Joseph Lundy, and the Knight Ministry. Then a delicious dinner and dancing with the sounds of Malik's Ultimate Band. The Human First Gala is Saturday, March 21st. Get your tickets now. For reservations, visit centeronhalsted.org. Valet parking is available. Dress is black tie optional.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
President Barack Obama has appointed one of the nation's leading public health policy experts as the director of the Office of National AIDS Policy. Jeffrey S. Crowley, MPH, an openly gay senior research scholar at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute, will coordinate the federal government's efforts on HIV/AIDS policies and guide the development of disability policies.
By a vote of 25-17, the New Mexico Senate rejected a measure that would create domestic partnerships in the state. And in Hawaii, a proposal to bring same-sex civil unions to the state has stalled in committee, but Democratic leaders plan to bring the issue to a vote of the full Senate.
Colorado Republican State Senator Scott Renfro apologized for his choice of words, but is not backing off from condemning homosexuality. Renfro has been at the center of the storm of controversy after telling the Colorado Senate that homosexuality is an offense to God during a debate on a domestic partnership bill that will benefit unmarried couples, including gays and lesbians. The measure passed.
Students at George Mason University in Virginia elected openly gay senior Ryan Allen homecoming queen. Allen, who performs as a popular drag queen at local clubs, took the title of Ms. Mason over two women who competed for the crown.
Neil Bolton, editor of Genre Magazine, is leaving the publication. Bolton recently sold his first book, Sex Across America, and runs the website BastardLife.com. No replacement has been named.
A gamer was suspended from Microsoft's Xbox Live service because she wrote in her profile that she is a lesbian. Microsoft has a policy of suspending anyone who types into his or her nickname or profile words related to sexual orientation, like gay or lesbian.
And at press time, over 100 firefighters were battling the large fire in Chicago's Boys Town at 3320 North Halsted. No injuries have been reported. A fire department spokesman said there were heavy flames throughout the building, which houses the gay bar Scarlet on the first floor and residents above. The damage is pretty bad, and both the bar and residents were marred extensively. The cause of the fire is under investigation.
And in world news, Star, a satellite service that broadcasts to over 300 million homes in 53 Asian countries, went silent when any gay references were mentioned by Milk actor Sean Penn and screenwriter Dustin Lance Black during their speeches at this year's Academy Awards. Gay Asians criticized the censorship.
In Ireland, a marriage equality survey reveals widespread support for civil rights regardless of sexual orientation. 81% believe that all people living in Ireland should receive equal treatment. 60% believe that prohibiting same-sex marriage is a form of discrimination.
In Australia, Jake Della Vedova, 25, threatened to expose a leading married politician's secret gay life with a video showing them having sex unless the politician paid him $15,000. The politician's name has been kept secret, a common procedure in blackmail cases.
In Italy, a 45-year-old gay man is planning to undergo gender reassignment surgery and become a nun. The man lives in a small town near Rome, but intends to leave his job later this year and travel to Northern Europe to undergo the operation.
A recent soccer match between Spain and England became the setting of homophobic chanting. During the February 11th match in Seville, the crowd started chanting Beckham Maricón, which means Beckham faggot, in reference to British star David Beckham.
In Burundi, the Senate has rejected a proposed change to the nation's criminal code that would have made homosexuality a criminal offense.
And in entertainment news, Rosie O'Donnell wants more Americans to become foster parents. O'Donnell and her partner, Kelly, are licensed foster parents in Florida and have worked extensively to bring an end to laws prohibiting same-sex family adoption. O'Donnell stars in a TV movie, America, which focuses on a biracial boy who's placed in foster homes.
And after 33 years at the New York Post, columnist Liz Smith, age 86, has published her last column. Her editor, Carl Allen, said the current financial crisis forced Smith's determination. The gossip maven made $125,000 a year. Smith will continue a form of her column at the website wowowow.com.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Jack with another By the Way covering the B in the big gay alphabet. Now I'm wondering, are there any positive bisexual male role models in film? Am I just seeing the wrong movies? There are plenty of female characters who fluidly have romances with men and women, but when it comes to men doing so, it's a cringeworthy punchline or an express trip to disaster. Recently I saw Woody Allen's movie, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Here there is more than just the usual messy love triangle. Twice in the movie, Scarlett Johansson's character has a fling with another woman, complicating matters. The initial encounter is natural as the two women are developing more than just photos together in a dark room. The moment is not intended to thrill a man, add some slapstick, be an act of deceit, and by no means is this a drunken, giggly co-ed experiment. The women would later engage in a three-way with Javier Bardem's character, with most of the action happening off-camera, leaving plenty to the imagination. The next day, Johansson's character recounts her same-sex affair to two friends. Feeling the need to categorize her, Johansson is immediately asked if she now views herself as bisexual.
She replies, stating she does not need a label herself. Hallelujah. In the comedy Mambo Italiano, the lead character has a secret love affair with his former childhood friend, now roommate. Eventually, the roommate moves out and marries a woman, but continues to sleep with men on the down low. Now, is he considered bisexual or closeted? Also, how many times has actor Sean William Scott kissed another guy in one of his movies just for a cheap laugh? I find that society accepts women being bisexual more openly. Is this from the titillating girl-on-girl love scenes in movies directed by men geared toward men? Are women just more in tune with their feelings than the opposite sex? I think if a man is bisexual, he's considered closeted or insecure with his sexuality. Sure, men experiment with other guys, whether it is an adolescent hormone-driven J.O. session, watching a skin flick in a group setting, a collegiate game at crackers, or even being a curious pecker checker in the locker room. But all this is considered sophomoric, and even during the acts, homophobia can be present. One would have to emphasize how turned on he is by the women on screen, or overtly pretend he's not looking at his buddy's manhood. Again, it is all usually all hush-hush. It's okay to like both and to talk about it. Pop culture has embraced bromance to a new extreme. Hopefully this is one step closer to celebrating the other B-word. And on that note, this is Jack signing off with another By the Way.
Hello, Deb Pierce here letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Have it be, obviously we're just asking people for money because financial times are tough and About Face Theater is in dire financial state right now and needing money to just keep the doors open. But another GLBT business, which we will have more information on what action steps are going to be taken in upcoming podcasts, but the Bar Scarlet burned this past Friday. And yeah, it was hundreds of firefighters trying to stop the blaze, the flames that I started on the third floor, which are residences above Scarlet, and burned down. You know, and it was very interesting because we are launching this next week, the Windy City Gay Idol promotion again this year, which is going to be fantastic. And very, very excited. And we had gone to Scarlet last year for the first time, kind of right after they had opened. I think they just celebrated their 1 year anniversary. Ugh. And, you know, I just really want to take this time to send out a lot of love to Jamie and Paul, who are owners of Scarlet, for really taking, you know, at the time I was so sad that we were losing Gentry on Halstead, mm-hmm. but these guys couldn't be nicer guys. And even though it's not a piano bar anymore or a cabaret bar anymore, they've really done something nice and classy. They couldn't be better guys to work with. And a really special shout out to Dusty, who's the bar manager, because he lived above the bar.
Oh no.
So in one day you lose your home
and your
job. Lose your job.
Oh my God.
And and so I just think when we all start thinking like how tough times are, you know, that to really have some perspective on, you know, what they're going through. And I already had heard, you know, it's interesting because we're going to be launching Gay Idol with the people from Sky Vodka this year and Miller Lite, which is a big change for us, working with
wow.
new beverages.
That's great.
And I was actually talking to the woman from Sky Vodka, on Friday when this whole thing was happening, and I texted her really quickly and said, oh, because we had just locked in the date with Scarlet and the day before, and they were very excited. And so obviously we've had to take Scarlet off our schedule because we just don't know what's gonna be revealed in the upcoming weeks. But I, you know, she called me back. And anyhow, we were just having a whole conversation and realizing that, you know, Roscoe's and Sidetrack and Cocktail and all the brother bars on the street were already talking about ways in which to help. And it's similar to what happened with Scott's. in the past year when that huge sinkhole happened on Montrose Street and just literally filled the basement of Scott's, which it would have absolutely killed anybody there. And we should say there were no injuries from the fire at Scarlet either, which is just a blessing.
Yeah,
but
amazing.
But just so amazing, and I'm sure more of the fires under investigation will come out, but just amazing how in just hours, you know, everything can change. And so we're wishing them well, and please post on our site if you know of anything happening for them, fundraisers or benefits, or email us at thepodcast@windycitymediagroup.com, and I will try to mention those things here so we can all go out and support.
Absolutely.
But I know, I love how the bar community here seems so different to me than most other communities where we're talking about the GLBT community coming together for its causes.
Anybody who's ever been to Provincetown, during season, which I never go because I grew up near there and I'm over it. I was over it at 15. But it's more beautiful in the winter when there's nobody there. Anyway, they know how it can be very competitive and not particularly nice. But here in Chicago, there is a brotherhood, a sisterhood of people who know that we're all a part of making Chicago a community, a gay and lesbian community, and a gay and lesbian destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's special. It's special here. Let's face it. It's special here.
It is special here. And I know that everybody will come together. And it just seems that it always happens. You know, something significant happens to a bar or an owner of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the staff now will be without jobs. And, you know, it's just, I'm sure they had good insurance and all of that. So, you know, in the long run, it's just this period of in between.
So not to change the subject, but when is the first Windy City Gay?
Windy City Gay Idol kicks off March 29th at Stargaze.
That's the first one?
Yes.
So I don't get to judge any of them this year?
You don't. It's so
People
sad.
People will miss me.
I'm already missing you.
I'm being facetious.
We will miss you. You'll just have to come back for whatever next we do.
Because you know what? At the Gay's Got Talent finale, I was funny.
You are very funny.
I'm being a bitch. I mean, seriously, I was funny.
You are funny. Deb Pierce thought you were very funny.
Oh, my God, Deb Pierce. Forget it. I'm done.
She got her new tattoo. Have you
she
seen
did?
It?
I haven't.
Her tat.
Fucking love that lady.
Looked at it on her Facebook page.
Oh, my God, my biggest crush. I haven't had a crush in years. Deb Pierce is my biggest crush in years. If you're listening, Deb, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Steven Rader, he's moved on. He's crawled over Steven Rader to get to you.
No, don't get me wrong. Steven Rader can get behind me while I'm... What? Steven! Honestly. Is that right?
It is. It's not right. But anyhow, our love goes out to Scarlet. Windy City Gay Idol is kicking off March 29th at Stargaze the following week in April, the Tuesday night, we will be at Jackhammer and then heading to Spin and heading to...
Amy at Jackhammer?
Mary's. And I love Jackhammer.
I love
Jim and the boys at Jackhammer.
They're very
nice. As long as they keep the porn going the whole time I'm on the stage.
I know. It's funny. It's like...
Then I can do things with my microphone, just like the guys doing with other boys' cups.
Amy!
Ah!
I always end up...
Mastered the blowjob, moved on.
I always end up at Jackhammer with the weirdest people, but last time I was there, I was with a group of straight 22-year-old boys.
There you go. That's always what it is, right?
It's always some weird thing. It's like, how do we end up at Jackhammer with this group of people?
Because it's fun.
It is. It's super fun. I'm never there like doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then Stargaze, where we're kicking it off, we've often had many in the top three, and we've had a number of winners. We've had three winners who sang at Stargaze. So lesbians really pack it out. So, and I mean that.
There's such a joke in there. And I saw it come across your face.
Rewind. Oh my God, Deb Pierce is so proud of me right now. So anyhow, we're looking forward to it. There'll be ads out in Night Spots and Windy City Times, and also more information coming up on the upcoming shows. Oh my God, we have to get off this podcast. Gregory Douglas on the next show. I'm heading to the Caribbean. Love you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.